Off the Ball Breakfast.
It's hard to be a lover of Irish football at the moment because of, and ultimately it goes back to the FAI. You've got to clean their act up, and I think they tried to do that.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
Now, you're very welcome back. We're looking back at a very special achievement from the weekend just gone by. Cate O'Connor claiming what's a historic silver medal for Ireland in the women's heptathlon. An incredible performance from her at the World Athletics Championships in Tokyo. She finished with 6,714 points, breaking her own national record. Five personal bests across seven events, including that knee injury, which is hampering her on Saturday as well. To put it into context just about what's been achieved here, it's Ireland's first outdoor medal in the multi-events ever. It's the first world medal in 12 years for the country. And it is remarkably O'Connor's fourth medal of 2025 when you take her two indoors at European and world level and World University Games as well. It has been an absolutely tremendous year for Cate O'Connor. She's celebrating in Japan for the next week. She's not coming back with the team just yet. Delighted to say that Cliona Foley is with us to look at the context of all this. Cliona, how are you keeping?
Hi, how are you? What a weekend, huh?
Unbelievable. We were glued to it here. Mick and I were chatting a bit earlier on the show because you didn't get to see everything because of the way that the feed was coming back from Japan. Yeah. So it was a case of Greg Allen was having to tell us, oh, her knee looks pretty bad at the moment. We're not quite sure how she's going to get on the 800 metres. The panel were keeping an eye on her results from the throws earlier in the day as well. So in a weird way, it was kind of you had to be glued to the coverage to make sure you caught the latest Cate update across her seven events.
And do you know what, Will? In some ways, watching it on TV is nearly the best way to watch multi-evented, because when you're in the stadium, there's so much going on in the track and on the field that it's very hard to keep up with it. And usually as a journalist, you're actually watching the live feed and looking at the points going up and down on the table beside you. So it's never easy to watch it. And actually, in some ways, we probably get a good view of it from TV. And one of the things you don't see on TV, and it's one of the reasons that I really love it, and I fell in love with it many years ago for multi-eventer. I just think they're incredibly versatile athletes. But at the very end of a multi-event, all the athletes come out and they all together do a lap of honour. And they put all of the three winners with their flags and their medals in front. But there's a real camaraderie between multi-eventers, and the way they finish, and they all come out and they all join hands and they do a big bow. They do it in the men's and the women's. And it's just a beautiful thing to watch. Really, sort of just a really inspiring thing to watch in athletics. And that's the one thing you very rarely get a glimpse of that on TV at the very end of it, which is fantastic.
It's such a multi-skill event as well. Because I know from hearing interviews with Cate before, she was saying that like a lot of her primary training naturally goes around running, and that her gym work also helps when it comes to many of these. But to be really good at the javelin, but also really good at the 800 metres, also to be able to do long jump, also be able to do all of these different events, that's a remarkable skill and a remarkable athlete to be able to do all of them at a high level.
It is. And if you go back to when she was a schoolgirl, like anybody involved in Irish athletics knows that the Irish Schools Championships that take place in Tullamore Harriers every year, every June, just before the Leaving Cert usually, actually, it's usually a really difficult weekend for the kids, but it is our little mini Olympics. If you want to see who are going to be the next stars in Irish athletics, go to that every year. It's a fantastic event and they run it all off in one day. It's sensational what they do. But when she was the year that she was in her last senior year, she won the javelin and she won the high jump. So she was the best in Irish schools in those two events already. And they're her core events. She's a very good hurdler. She's worked really hard in hurdles. You can see that. She needs to work more on her shot. But I think, and her long jump has come on in leaps and bounds, literally, pardon the pun. So I think she's still, what to me is most extraordinary is how, first of all, how she keeps improving. And this year she broke national record at World Indoors, at World Student Games and at the World Championships outdoors. She keeps breaking her own records. She's incredibly driven, but physically she has got the capacity to do this and to avoid injury. That is a key for a multi-eventer. And we saw, that's why the panic was when we thought that she got injured on the long jump was, and that's the key to taking care of and progressing as a multi-eventer is avoiding serious injury and keeping the training load at that key point where it doesn't push you over the edge when you're trying to push yourself in each one. But it's her capacity, I think, since then to watch her is just, I think mentally she's extraordinary. She reminds me of Dervla O'Rourke, her ability to just pull it out on the big occasion, but to do it in seven events, you know, 5 feet beast from seven. It's just amazing. But she's terribly cool. Just a really cool, level-headed girl.
Yeah, I got that very much from a chat with David Gillick, where they did the sit-down afterwards, the kind of, I guess, the decompression interview at the end of the games when she had her silver medal in hand. And she was saying she was so determined not to settle for bronze. She knew that she could have maybe went into the 800, taken it easy, just got around the track and you're on the podium. But she said she was determined to get the silver, even if her knee was hurting her.
Yeah, and I, someone was texting me and they said, oh my God, she's got a knee injury. And I said, if her leg is hanging off, she will run the best that she can run. And then she pulled out an 800, she pulled out a PB in the 800 as well as everything else, even when she was injured. She has, and you know what? Athletes, brilliant athletes, when you're in mixed zones in world championships, they come in all the time. I was always struck by it after winning medals and saying, I had a really bad injury. But the really good ones are able to get through that mentally. They have that capacity to absorb pain and push their bodies. And you could see it. I thought you could see it on her face in the 800. Actually, she wasn't as relaxed. I could see it that she usually would be. There was a little bit of pain, I thought, on her face. But if she that's really, it's the very same thing that jumped out to me at that interview was, I wasn't settling for bronze here. I knew I could get gold, you know. And to be where she is, really not that far behind the American champion. That was what is really interesting. She turns 25 at the end of December. She still has a lot of improvement to go. And I think if she can push on, you know, by another 100 points, probably she's going to be a regular medalist. I think there's no doubting it, you know. She has it physically, but she has it mentally. And in a multi-event, and they changed the schedule. People might be aware of that. Normally with her event, they do four events one day and then they do the three the next day. But what they changed the scheduling. I don't know whether people heard her saying she had no time to go to the toilet. They changed the scheduling and put all the first four events on the first night rather than the day and night. So they squeezed them. But it was interesting to me that she was able to absorb that, put them all so close together. And I think that's really encouraging as well, that she can bang the events out one after the other and still break PBs like she was doing. That's incredible.
It's such a tough thing to do. So at the World Indoors this year as well, I think at one point she was finishing at like 11 or 12 o'clock, her last event, and was back up at 6 a.m. for warm-ups essentially for the next day. Like, that's a very, very difficult thing to do because, you know, one or two bad events here and your medal might disappear. There's no real room for error, really.
And actually, if you remember that World Indoors, probably people will remember it in seeing it as well. Do you remember she was behind that American Brooks going into the 800 metres and she had to beat her. I think she was 3 points ahead of her and she beat her by like 5 or 6 seconds or something like that. Like, she just, you know, and her determination in that was unbelievable. But that's the thing, like, that's what struck me this time is all those events were squeezed into a night event. And she said herself she didn't get much sleep. She rested her body, but she probably didn't get an awful lot of sleep. She was lying second overnight, then she comes out in the long jump and she jumps well, she gets an injury, then she has a break, then she goes into the last two and then she pulls it out of the bag again, you know. I think it's her, to me, it's just, she's just a performer. I don't know what, if she, whatever sport she'd be doing, I think she'd be brilliant at. And you have to give her coaches credit, like, her dad has done so much work. I loved to hear that she said that she, out in the training camp, she went to Derval, or she went to Sarah Lavin and Sarah's coach, Noelle Morrissey, and spoke to them about how she could improve her hurdles. I know she's talked to Phelan Kelly, I think, about the 800 metres. They will use any other coaches and any other expertise that they can get. Tom Reynolds is a jumps coach, I think, in the north, and Dave Sweeney, who's Athletics Ireland's throws expert, he has been doing all the work with her on the throws as well. But she was always a brilliant. She won a junior medal that summer of her leaving cert, and she was thrown fairly close to 50 at that stage with the javelin. Like, she was always a brilliant javelin thrower. Yeah. So look, you know what, Will, I was thinking at our local St. Patrick's Day parade here, the local athletics club had the kids during it, you know, they were on their little tableau on the ground, but they were running up and down passing relay medals to each other, you know. And a year later, can you imagine what those kids are going to be doing in the St. Patrick's Day parade next year? It's going to be throwing, jumping, everything. They could be doing everything. And that's what's brilliant about this, you know, because, like, the fundamentals, and it's a really interesting day to be talking about a multi-eventer, because the national curriculum for primary schools, they're talking about giving more time to physical education, to what they're calling making wellness now a core subject. And this notion of fundamentals, being able to, not competitive for sport at all, but being able to run, to jump, to throw, to catch, all those things are crucial in a child's development. And here we have somebody who has all those basics, had them brilliantly, and then obviously is working so hard on each and every one of them with good coaches as well.
Yeah, look, and an inspirational hero to have here too, because you said the relay team, I think, caught the imagination of a lot of people going back to the Europeans. And look, Ciara McGeehan already hit her fan club before what happened in Rome. And then you get the Olympics on the back of that. I look at the fact that we now have Diamond League coverage, which is on free to air here in Ireland as well. So people on a Friday or Saturday can sit down and watch, you know, proper elite athletics at the moment too. I think when you've got someone going to the podium in the world, when we have waited 12 years for it, this is a huge opportunity to push sport now.
Yeah, and to push every aspect of it, you know what I mean? And I always say it's a sport like gymnastics, which is a brilliant grounding for every other sport you want your child to do. You know, if they can do all those basic fundamental skills, then some sports will suit them. You know, whether it is a throwing sport, whether it's rugby or whether it's football or whether it's anything else, if you get those core things into their bodies at a young age, you know, it definitely transfers. And there is some, I have seen some research to say that actually for girls, especially if they're multi-eventing, if they're doing multiple sports up until the age of 12 or 13, it transfers into them being good at elite sport in whatever they specialize in, even more than boys. And I don't know why that is, but it is an interesting aspect of it. Like, you know, if you look at the last World Championships of Budapest 2 years ago, fourth for Rashida Adeleke, fourth for Ciara McGeehan. Last year, we had all the brilliant relay success. We've lost people. Ciara's struggling with an illness at the moment. Rashida obviously has an injury. The relays didn't do well. And yet we're coming out of a World Championships with, you know, this amazing young woman who's only 24, and then Keane McPhillips in the 800, who's fantastic. And then, like, we had 8 top 4 finishers, you know, and that is incredible. And that's massive. I think we'd 14 from a team of 28, we had 14, I think, who made top 24. So kudos to Athletics Ireland as well. They were, you know, when Dervil O'Rourke and Dave Gillick, both of them world finalists, I should point out. Dervil was fourth in Berlin in 2019 when Olive Loughnane won a medal and was upgraded. But Dervil and David Gillick was sixth in a world final, in a world 400 metre final back then. And I think people forget that. And it's lovely to see them analysing now because they know how difficult it really is. But they were the first, like from our middle distance, from the amazing success that Sonia, Eamon Coughlin first, then Sonia, then we had the walkers making waves and winning medals at world championships. But we suddenly started to get sprinters, and then we now have this new generation, and we have a generation that are doing all different things, you know. So that's what's brilliant about it. And even listen to the news yesterday, you know, we had success in world sailing. We had success in eventing, European eventers in equestrian. They won a medal. There's already 2 medals from the Paris swimming. You know, sport is such a broad church, but to be able to compete for a small island in lots of different disciplines is fantastic. And I think, and I don't know whether people should go if they haven't seen Eamon Coughlin shouting down to Kate O'Connor at the track. I don't know whether you've seen it on social media, but he caught her eye and he shouted down and he was like, "I won the first, you're the latest and you're the future." And he said, you're going to be so inspirational to kids because they can do anything if they put their minds to it. Whereas I think for so long, we thought we were just a country that could produce distance runners, but not anymore.
Yeah, he's lovely, because we had Eamon in studio before he went across to Tokyo just a couple of weeks ago on the breakfast show. And again, I think it was very clear he's one of Kate O'Connor's biggest fans. He was just delighted to go and watch her actually compete. And hey, look, it's great to see her deliver. You were saying before we got on to McPhillips and the others and how they've done, there's probably just a few areas that O'Connor can pick up a few more points along the way. Is the shot put her main area of potential improvement here?
I think the shot is her one area of potential and improvement, and it's a difficult technical event, and it's so different from javelin as well. But look at KJT, the great English multi-eventer. She struggles badly with shot as well. It is one that I think she could work. I think shot is a potential area for big progress for her, and I think long jump as well. Obviously, her long jump can get better as well. You know, so they're the two that she can work on, but there's no doubt in my mind the way she approaches things, the way she's fearless in competition and produces her best in competitions. Like if you looked at the world indoors this year, I think she produced PBs in at least 3 events in that, if not 4 as well. Like she pulls it out on the big day and she's a ruthless competitor. So yeah, they're the two, I think. But I think too, her high jump, I think could get better still too.
No simple thing either to peak at so many different occasions. So we go back to spring. So often an athlete will say if they're a big outdoor competitor, they'll go, the indoor season is just me getting ready. So she hits the indoor season absolutely flying, then goes to the World University Games, which like she could have swerved because of the way that her year
gone. She could have swerved, yeah.
Was determined to go and has now peaked at the end of the World Championships by smashing all these records as well. That is some kind of 6 month spell for her.
That's phenomenal resilience, Will, because it was a particularly late World Championships. Do you know what I mean? And she's been going since the indoor season. And like everybody will tell you, you know, outdoors is always more competitive than indoors. You get the whole world really comes to outdoors and they peak for it. So that's what I this is. She has a resilience, a physical resilience in her now, that ability, you know, to keep the season going and not to get injured until that particular jump in the long jump. That was part of it as well. And as I said, I think this thing of her being able to bang out those four disciplines on one night, which you don't normally have to do in the event, and they switched it up, and it'll be interesting to see whether they keep it. I think they've talked to the athletes about what kind of format they'd like for future. But that was remarkable, you know, that she was able to produce it so well that night and get so little rest and come back out.
800 metres final, we were all kind of screaming at the telly, I think, hoping that he was just going to have enough track at the end with the way that McPhillips finished. Again, to put into context for people, Mark English has been ripping it up this year, lowering his own record. And the next thing, this young man from Longford, who looks like he's going to be a future star as well, has just had a remarkable Worlds cleaner.
Yeah, and Mark English this year really, you know, went and started working with an Australian coach, even just remotely online. He was doing a lot of that. Was running the times, the fastest times of his life. I mean, I really, really was hoping he'd make a world final because it's the only thing left on his CV that he hadn't made a world final. And I think that was the real aim for him. And then he just gets pipped. You know, he's third. He doesn't make a world final. And next thing, not only does Keane McPhillips makes the final, but he smashes Mark English's record. All of this happens in a couple of minutes and you're thinking, oh my God. I mean, his track and field are one of the hardest sports in the world. You can go from so high to so low so quickly. But McPhillips has been a talent, and actually Eamon Coughlin would have been there, or possibly would have been there, when he ran that great time as a 17-year-old in New York in the Millrose Games. And everyone said, oh my goodness, you know, he is going to be brilliant. And then, you know, as happens to a lot of athletes, they go to college, they have a lot on, they can sometimes pick up niggles. And Kate O'Connor had niggles for a while as well, and she went over to England to Jess Ennis's coach and didn't work out and came back. You know, they just, it's a busy time in your life, that period from 19 to, and that's why the European 23s, Will, were introduced really by, I don't know how long they are, maybe only since the early noughties. But the whole point of those is to help Irish athletes, all athletes, young athletes, transition from that under 20 junior, what we call juniors in athletics, to senior level. And they brought in those. And interesting for me, Ireland won 5 medals in the European under-23s this year. And that's the most. They only won 2. 2 was the most they've ever won before. So that tells you that the next group coming through are also really good as well. But you know, like McPhillips is clearly a talent. And also what I loved about him is like he has a racing brain. The way he kept out of trouble and he didn't go with them on the first lap when the pace was blistering. And 800 metres is like, it's a mind wrecker, you know. If you have to have, and Mark English has it, you have to have nerves of steel for 800 metres at that elite level. And the way he didn't go, and yet there was a Polish athlete for about 20 years there, Marcin Lewandowski, who's famous in the 800 because he used to come like a train from the back of the field. And all I could think watching him was, oh my God, he's going to do Lewandowski. And he was so close. But do you know, there's no point in saying what ifs or buts. That's when he went. That's how the race panned out. The three guys in front of him ran ridiculous times. But the key thing for McPhillips, Will, I think, is that you run a 1:42, suddenly the world opens up for you in terms of wanting you to come and compete in their events. So he will now get invitations. He will have people looking to have him in their races. And that's a huge thing for Irish athletes, getting into world-class races. Very often they're racing on tier 2 and tier 3. particularly for sprinters and middle distance people. And they're not in those races where they really have to be pushed and think their way through it and think tactically against the best in the world. But that time that he ran and finished in fourth in world championships, I think now will open up doors like Diamond Leagues for Cian McPhillips to get out and race against the top people in the world. And that is only going to bring him on even more.
And I liked his attitude afterwards too. He said, maybe I've left one behind, but he feels that in 2 years' time he can go and win a medal now. So the focus almost directly coming off the track was, you know what, keep an eye on me in 2 years' time.
And he could see the disappointment in him, Will, couldn't you?
Yeah. And I think he was right to feel disappointed. Like he's running in a field there where it's ultimately world and Olympic medalists that are on the podium, and he's got within 0.8 of a second of them.
Yeah. And Mark English didn't make that final because the two guys in front of him were Olympic medalists as well, I think. So, like, that's how tight it is at this level. But you have to have the attitude that he has, which is, I'm disappointed, but, you know, I'm not going anywhere, and I have a long way to go in this event as well.
Yeah, the new generation is very exciting. Cleanit, pleasure as always. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Will.